All right, kids, let's talk about some wrestling. This is Jeremy. Joining me this week, or the team this week, is Kevin. And woo-hoo! We're going to talk some wrestling, and because that's pretty much what our site covers. So I think that's a good idea. So there you go.
We can always expand our coverage at some juncture here, hopefully.
Whatever. So, let's talk about, we're going to try and move right into things this week, and we're going to talk about, I don't think we've actually talked about this group in a while, and that's TNA. By the time people listen to this, Sting will have already made his triumphant return to television and defeated Jeff Hardy, you know, for the TNA heavyweight title. Here's the thing, and I don't recall, have any of us talked about Sting turning down WWE? I mean, not turning down, but essentially turning down any opportunity to go to WWE by doing this? I don't remember.
He is definitely too old. Like, and I even think, that when you and I talked about the possibility of him taking on The Undertaker, like, the guy just doesn't have a lot left. He doesn't seem to have the same, I don't think he's spent as piss poorly as Ric Flair, so he doesn't need the job. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't seem as into it as Flair does either. You know, just as an overall whole, like, even though Flair does it for the money a lot, I think he still has a passion for wrestling that outshines Sting's.
No, you're right. I think one thing you said, though, with Ric Flair, though, that's the only reason he does it is for the money. I mean, come on. The old motherfucker spends money like it's, I don't know, some really distinguishable commodity. I mean, I don't know. I think part of it was all the hype with Sting. Like, it only took, what, one person, and then, boom, everybody took off with the idea that he was going to WWE. I mean, we talked about it when it was first rumored. But then to have him show up in TNA and then have him do, you know, somebody being a smartass or whatever, doing the 3-3-11, you know, like the 2-21-11 when it was supposed to be Sting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I know why they did it. They're just being a smartass, but it's like, that just makes you look low rent. I mean, even more low rent than, you know, TNA usually looks. A big fundamental problem in this is, first, Sting, like I've said earlier, he essentially has destroyed any prospect of going to WWE, don't you think?
I guess that was part of, not that I got off track, but, because he doesn't seem to be into it, like, career-wise, I don't think, you know, he's gonna do much more than another year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, see,
he just might honestly finally go, you know what, fuck it, I'm done with this, and be out. So that's another thing that is kind of big in the situation. If he spends another year there, like, is he really going to want to do another year in the WWE?
Well, see, that's what I was, Dusty and I argued about this. And he was saying, we were both talking about it, and I was like, you know, you kind of got to push it now. And he's like, there's no need for Sting to be in WrestleMania 27. You can build him up all the way to 28. You know, if anything, feed different guys to him, whatever else, and then have the big blowout at 28. So, I mean, I disagreed and said just use him now and get rid of him. So I guess I was going to your point about him not having a whole lot of time left.
Yeah.
Or the desire. I mean, he's 52, I believe, now.
Yeah, 51 or 52, yeah. Something like that, yeah.
So it's like, does he want to travel WWE's schedule? I mean, I know they're a little more willing to give some people, you know, the benefit and have him work limited dates or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that's what he'd sign, but I don't know. He's got to be financially, like you were getting to, he's got to be financially way better off. And I mean, he works, 2 days a week and 2 days a month in TNA, basically. So, and he gets to wear a t-shirt, so he doesn't have to work out. I mean,
even though he probably still owns gyms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny when you. Never mind. But no, it to me it was kind of disappointing too, because that really would have been one of the last great matches, great matchups, like dream matches.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, you've got Cena and Triple H, you've got all the WWE guys, but it's like the big to do would have been Undertaker. But I don't know if Cena's younger fans, which is something we'll get into later, really even know who the hell Sting is. Because we've talked about it plenty of times where people leave WWE and or wrestlers leave WWE and people just think they're out of wrestling.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a reason you go from, I don't know, what's the WWE, like a 3-6 or something like this on a Raw or something, to barely one. You know, I mean, no matter how TNA wants to spin their, the size of their viewership or, oh, we're getting more people, there's still a third of the people. Like, if you say that everyone that watches Raw also watches TNA, then, you know, it's still only a third of them, essentially, you know, that tunes into them every week.
Yeah.
So a lot of the kids wouldn't know who, literally wouldn't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's just no way. Because what did someone, was that Keller that mentioned that it's been 10 years, almost 10 years since they bought out WCW?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, it's been 10 years, but I go, wow, it's only been 10 years. Like, it seems a lot longer that they've been gone.
Yeah, no, I see your point. Like, I can't believe it's been that long, but yeah, it does seem like it's been an awfully long time since they bought them out.
Yeah. Well, that's what was funny because they said
I guess we were out of school and everything, so that's kind of a big one. You know, I guess I would have expected it sometime we were still hanging out more.
Yeah, no, I was already down here when it happened.
Yeah.
So, no, but I don't know. It's disappointing, but then I'm looking at it from Sting's perspective. He used a rumor to basically get... You've got to figure he used the rumor to get substantially more money out of TNA and then a title reign out of the blue based off of nothing. Fan speculation.
Well, and I'm not sure, when did he get taken off of, because I remember people, when that first, that idea came up first, then TNA took him off of their roster, but it wasn't until like a week or two later, and at that point, to me, looking back on it now, I'm like, oh, I wonder if they took him off there so that he was more of a quote-unquote surprise when he came out. So, yeah, he could have used that as leverage.
Okay, yeah.
To get more... I was trying to remember the time frame at first, so I was going to call Bravo Sierra on that one. But, no, that he really could have worked it that way.
Yeah. But regardless of what happened... I mean, the guy went from nowhere, and now he's the TNA guy, TNA champion again, and he's going to be a prominent role. I mean, if you're the locker room, you got to be pissed.
Yeah, no, they can't be happy. I mean, they honestly couldn't have been happy that they gave the belt to someone who is still under pending charges
for God knows
what reason.
Yeah.
Like, why do you, like, Ken Anderson just won the belt. He seems to be your baby face right now. Like, as much as TNA wants to try and make everyone gray, he's basically your baby face.
Yeah.
Like, he just finally beat his foe. He's been out with a concussion. He's had to battle back and questions and this, that, and the other thing. Like, you kind of have the perfect sympathetic baby face here. And then you have him lose the title, like, a month later to a guy who's under pending drug charges. Like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah, well, I think we're also getting a little... Well, I mean, I started it, but we're getting off the topic, too. Because if we really want to talk about TNA's mismanagement, I mean, fucking A, dude. Just think of it this way, and this is something that... We'll just get away from TNA, because I already know how this is going to turn out. And it's been a pretty positive, like, good day, so I don't want to ruin it by talking about them anymore. But it just goes to show you, on coming up with WrestleMania coming up, CM Punk was in TNA. They let him go. He went back to ROH, signs with WWE. He spent his time in OVW. And now he's feuding with... You got to say... I don't know. I guess I got to watch how I say this. On Raw, is Randy Orton the biggest babyface on Raw? Or is it Cena still?
I'd have to say Orton because he gets the whole crowd with him.
Yeah. Okay.
But I still think that Cena is a bigger draw in
okay.
a way.
Okay. I'll go with you. I understand what you mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah. So CM Punk is now feuding with the top babyface on Raw going into WrestleMania. He's a prominent role compared to Samoa Joe. And I know that's always the one we'll mention, but there you go. I mean,
yeah,
it just shows you.
You want to talk about mismanaged people.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he would have been all that much better off in the WWE since all Samoans need to be tribal.
Yeah.
And if you aren't, you get to be a shitty tag team.
Okay, but look, all right, but looking at it this way, though, what if the roles were reversed, okay? And CM Punk's the guy floundering in TNA, and Joe's the one taking off in WWE. Would we be saying the exact same thing? I mean...
To me, it's more of a question. Like, I don't think... Samoa Joe is the promo guy that CM Punk is.
No, not at all.
So I think even with Punk's talking ability, he might have been able to work out better in TNA than Samoa Joe has.
Well, but I also think though Samoa Joe he's an average to what's in between above average and average? Yeah, no one ever says that, but that's where he is. And I think with the right people, I mean, I just got done reading Chris Jericho's book, Undisputed, and I'll bring it to Atlanta so you can read it. Did you ever read Lion's Tale, by the way?
No.
All right, I'll bring that one too. But he talked about in his book about how he would always blow off. Doing live reads or doing reads for this and that. And then he had a talk with Steve Lombardi one day, and then he did them all the time, and he improved and, you know, learned how to cut a better promo. So I think with Joe's case, it could be that, you know what, you come in, you wrestle the Zack Ryders for a month or, you know, a year. You're fighting Curt Hawkins on Superstars. But talent rises in WWE. I mean, you know, as much as we bitch about when guys get released, like Shelton Benjamin, Charlie Haas, I'm trying to think, like Rico, and I know I'm pulling out these like idiotic
Rico.
Guys, of course. I don't know what brought that up. But Trevor Murdoch, these sort of guys. That one's for Dusty, by the way. And where I was like, I can't believe they did this. They're not doing anything with them. But then once they leave... Well, they've kind of proven WWE right. And Eric's brought this up before, too, that they release talent right before, you know, it's time for them to go. And I think, which goes back to my point about how they can make somebody effective. They were getting Jeff Hardy over with barely even saying anything.
Yeah, no, but he also had improved, finally.
Exactly.
Like,
Yeah.
I don't want to ever say that he was a good promo, but he went from being awful to being average.
Right. So imagine if they have a guy...
That was enough for them to be able to vault him up.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I'm getting at is, imagine they took a guy who was awful and made him average. Imagine if they had a guy that was in between average and above average and worked with him. So...
Yeah.
But anyways.
I gotcha.
All right. Well, it came out this week from, I believe it was the Wrestling Observer. I want to give him the correct credit, but I don't have it written down, so I don't know.
Oh, well, let me check here.
All right. So, while Kevin checks.
I actually pulled it up so I can remember what the matches were.
Well, I just copied it and sent it to my email. So.
Yeah, it's the Observer.
Okay. So, in last week's or this week's Observer, they actually, the WrestleMania card has leaked out. Which I don't know how much of a leak it is, considering half the matches are already set.
Yeah.
See, you've got your standards: Miz, Cena, Del Rio, Edge, CM Punk, Randy Orton,
Taker, Triple H.
Yeah, Taker, Triple H.
Those are the four that are clearly out in the open.
Right. So.
And honestly, there are two other ones that are pretty much in the open. Rey Mysterio, Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yes, good call.
Because that's been going on, you know, they haven't been that consistent since Rhodes hasn't been on TV, but still, they've been mentioning that for at least a month now.
Well, yeah, well, then, especially after Friday, last Friday, it has to happen. So, and it's good. I mean,
yeah.
To get into this one a little bit, I like the whole thing with Dusty Rhodes turning, because he's used that line before about, father will do anything for their son.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Dusty, you know, they have him...
it's Dusty being Dusty.
Yeah. They have him turn on somebody. He's off TV for 6 months, comes back, does it again, and everyone's still like, I can't believe he did it. It's a great gimmick to have. but then they kind of... Basically, you could tell there was some sort of message there where Dusty Rhodes was saying, you were worried about being dashing instead of doing this. You were worried about being dashing instead of doing this. To where it almost effectively killed off the dashing gimmick, which was fun, but wasn't going to get him anywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, if he gets rid of that, he'll still have the problem that he is the smallest man on the roster, but... outside of that, he'll be pretty good.
Yeah. yeah. Well, it was effective because he beat the hell out of Rey Mysterio and then looked in the mirror and then threw Rey Mysterio through it. So to me, I took that as, you know...
smashing that character.
Yeah. Symbolic of getting rid of the dashing Cody Rhodes. I just hope they don't come up with something stupid like dangerous Cody Rhodes or... devastating, you know, something just so they can keep the dumbass DC logo.
But let's stick with everyone on .net has to have something that is alliteration. So it'd be crushing Cody.
Ugh. How about no calves, Cody? Well, that doesn't work. But no, I like this match because it's actually kind of fresh. And a lot of people will be like, well, I can't believe this crap, but it's like, whatever.
The pay-per-view is 4 hours long, which, you know, even I forget sometimes. It's just like, oh, well, how are they having this many? Oh, yeah, they have an extra hour.
Yeah. So, yeah, but they also have, like, music and those dumbass... Raven Simone telling crippled kids to stand up moments.
They definitely have a lot of time fillers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess we shouldn't get into this too much since our preview show, cheap plug, for each match will be coming up later in the month, we need to figure out when we're doing it. So.
Right. No, but it was one of those things, though. I was just trying to get through the matches that I feel are pretty much set. And the other match that's, it did get set on Monday was Cole and Lawler.
Yeah. The only thing that was left holding out there, and this is, all right, I guess we should say spoiler for anybody who doesn't want to hear about this. Just shut the show off and come back next week. They announced a special referee on this card as being Steve Austin.
Yeah, which, I don't know. That to me is one that doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-mm.
Because if Cole gets to pick them, I would figure that the second person that he has been singing the most praise, well, I'd say is between two people, Alex Riley and Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he really blew her over the past month, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's either of them. Steve Austin makes no sense because it's just like, and I started thinking to myself, did he have some big feud with Lawler at some point? Like, was there something behind the scenes that they're going to try to pull up that I'm forgetting about or don't know about? I wasn't sure. So that was the only thing that made me think that Austin, I guess, still could be the person.
See, I get the feeling this will play out with the Raw GM busting in. Because remember, Austin's on the show this week. So the Raw GM will be like, no, it has to be up and up, and I don't know anybody better to call it, you know, make sure justice reigns. Ugh, awful.
Yeah, calls it down the middle.
Thank you. Yeah, some shit like that. So so that's a really not too much. Now, one of the other strange ones, all right, not strange, but some of the other matches, John Morrison, Kelly, Trish Stratus, versus Dolph Ziggler, Layla, and Michelle McCool. Now, unless things changed, Ziggler's not there anymore. They haven't mentioned Trish Stratus since the pay-per-view, and they didn't really even mention that she was on the pay-per-view. So this whole setup to me is weird, but then there's also, it came out that on some of the other scripts, they replaced Ziggler with Drew McIntyre, who also got storyline fired. Oh, sorry, spoiler for SmackDown. My bad. That's why I told you, read it or don't, it doesn't matter. I'm going to screw up anyways, so.
Yeah, I didn't read it.
Oh, well, he gets fired, so.
Oh.
Yeah, Eric has a piece sitting around on a message board somewhere, because he doesn't feel like writing it, apparently, about how the youth movement pretty much died all of a sudden. Ziggler fired, McIntyre fired, Ted DiBiase, I mean, he kind of deserves it. Where's John Morrison been? Sheamus got swamped.
I can't bag on Morrison at all. They had him go ape in the Elimination Chamber. Then they had him limp down, and they gave him every excuse in the book to get his ass kicked by CM Punk.
But then they didn't even mention him this week.
Yeah, no. If it goes beyond 1 week, like, just the way they set up the talk-heavy Raw this week, there wasn't much of a place for him. Like, I still don't think they have a lot of faith in his mic skills. But they definitely have oodles of confidence of his in-ring ability.
Well, it goes back to what we've said about Morrison. Stop scripting the guy. Let him live and die on his own. This reading script bullshit just ruins everybody. But...
Well, yeah.
It's not going to stop.
That's something with Ziggler, too. Like, it's nice of him to get storyline fired because they really need to get him away from Vicky.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
He's definitely... And I'll keep on saying it until I'm blue in the face. I think they are fine with him in the ring, but they have not really given him almost any chance on the mic.
No, it was playing second fiddle to Vicky's power woman.
Yeah, you know. And he was fine. Like, I didn't ever think he was terrible, but I don't know if there was still even enough at any one time to, really give it a real rating.
Well, he doesn't, I hate saying it, but he doesn't have a voice that matches his face and body.
It's a little too squeaky and hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it should be have some more gravel to it, but just because of the jawline, you expect them to have like this almost like a countryish, gravelish, backwoods tone almost. But
right.
Whatever. I'm getting ultra gay, so
that's okay.
Well, I'm trying to be tasteful with it. That's all. So.
Yes, because we're known for our tastefulness.
You know what? But I told that other joke I told you that I said today. Like, three other people laughed. Everyone else just kind of looked at me as I was stupid. And I was like, that's the whole point. Whatever. And then I go, when you got to explain it, it's not funny. So, but yeah, so that match is just kind of goofy. All right,
yeah,
then,
well, they can use that as an easy, we're advertising tough enough to throw Trish Stratus in
okay.
there.
Yeah.
Kelly Kelly obviously does not like Lay Cool, so that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I guess it makes some sense to get a bunch of people on the card, which also makes sense why they're, the other match there is basically a Survivor Series match.
Okay. And what Kevin's referring to is the new, oh, I'm sorry, the core, Barrett, Jackson, Slater, and Gabriel, taking on the hodgepodge Big Show, Kane, Kofi Kingston, and Christian. Now, I know they're not having a Money in the Bank match, so, you know, if you wait until we get to the end to hear about it, but
yeah,
there's no Money in the Bank. And this just seems, along with the John Morrison match, along with the next match, as if they're like, oh shit, we don't have a spotlight for 10 guys. What do we do? What do we do? And they're like, okay, Big Show's got a problem. We don't know what the fuck else to do. So these three have nothing going for him. Put them with him. I mean, Christian's feud is with a guy who's in the semi-main event.
Well, and this is another one where I'm like, I just have a hard time believing sometimes that these lesser matches, the ones that aren't pretty much locked in, are, you know, they've got to at least be tweaked in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Because why is Kane with this whole group? Like, Big Show, Kofi,
well,
and Christian work together. That's
if
fun.
If someone
and
would go out of
they...
their way to read spoilers, they know.
Oh.
Maybe I should have told you to read the spoilers. My bad. Didn't even think of that. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kane is babyface again, huh?
Yeah. They turned to babyface because,
because they don't feel like having him wrestle as the Undertaker anymore.
Yeah.
So
I think,
now that they can team together after long months of absence, and we can pretend that they weren't just feuding and Kane didn't put him out.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the circumstances were, but I think like the core said something about taking Big Show out, and Kane said he doesn't need help. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. So. Yeah, but it's like Kofi Kingston, they're like, shit, we have nothing for this guy. And Christian, they're just going, well, Christian just came back, so we can't leave him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And he's a big enough person that they definitely need to keep him on there.
Yeah. I mean, this looks like it's just going to be a spotlight match for Ezekiel Jackson. He'll probably rough up the other team. I would hope this is an elimination match, if anything. Add some sort of twist to it.
Because if they go with the some sort of women and men match, that's got to be single fall.
Yeah.
And even if they go rapid fire on some of these jokers.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then the other match is just one that is totally thrown together. Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. with Gail Kim and Daniel Bryan's corner and the Bellas and Sheamus's. They got 3 weeks to get this thing together because that makes no goddamn sense. There's no history between the two. Except one throwaway bit, wasn't there?
Yeah. Just, it wasn't this week, it was last week. Sheamus ran into him after that. But, this is another thing that, these things, what, we have 4 weeks still until WrestleMania?
Yeah, 4 shows, I believe. I'll pull up the calendar and look, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's April 1st, isn't it?
Yeah, I keep thinking it's March, but...
It's
one,
the first
two,
or the
three.
Second.
Yeah, we got 4 shows left. It's April 3rd is WrestleMania, but...
April 3rd.
Yeah, but there are 4 shows left, so wow, there's still a month left. Not bad.
Yeah, so these undercard matches, like... I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see them happen, and they certainly still have the time to build up these lesser things. Like, they've done a good job of getting the foundation down for WrestleMania. The big matches are what matters, and that's what they've been concentrating on. So, if they get to this shit later, who cares? You know, I mean, that's fine. You can't be getting to this crap too early, because no one really gives that much of a shit.
True. So, I guess... To go back to the 8-man match, I guess it would be a give time for Christian to get away from Del Rio somehow. So.
Yeah, because depending upon what way they go with that.
Yeah.
Because if Del Rio wins, Christian's probably not going to take him on, or he's going to take him on and lose.
Yeah, immediately. all right, but. So that's your card. Card subject to change, obviously. An interesting mix. It's fun to see. It's interesting to see who's not on it right now. Nobody from Nexus outside of CM Punk.
R-Truth.
Yeah. Alex Riley's not on there. Which is kind of interesting. To do some Raw talk. Miz lost Alex Riley, and there's no chatter about it anywhere whatsoever. No one cares.
Well, I do think it would help the Miz some for him to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and Riley, I don't know. Like, if you're going to let him be a bitch, who cares? You know, like, I don't know. I guess you could have him as a full-time jobber and let him wrestle on Superstars all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal for him to lose him at all. Like, to me, like, that's not bumming me out about the youth movement. Like, if Alex Riley goes down for a little bit, like, it's not going to completely crush my soul that the youth movement has died.
Yeah, it's
you know, in those lights, if there's more to it, if they continue to keep a lot of these guys down, then there's going to be a problem, but... You know, just building some of these guys up for... you can't build up everyone for a big match at WrestleMania. So, Morrison can get a... Well, and that's the other thing about the... Wow, fuck. I am all over the place.
It's all right.
if
we were actually had one singular thought, that'd really throw us for a loop. We'd be like, dude, what's going on? We'd stop it. So...
But, I guess these lower matches are good, spotlight matches for these young guys, really. Like, they've just got to kind of go for it when they're actually in the ring.
Yeah.
But who the hell were we talking about? Oh, who wasn't on the card?
I was going to Raw and Alex Riley.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just odd. They're getting rid of all the young guys, and here's another guy. So... I don't know. I think you're right. It does help Miz. He doesn't need somebody there he doesn't need a lackey, as Bill Simmons called him. it was fine, but when he started coming up for promos, he started taking the mic and like commandeering the mic to make challenges or, you know, have Miz's back. It's like, no, that's not what the apprentice does. The apprentice is told to go do things. He doesn't take it upon himself to do it.
Yeah, that's been weird. Oh, and that joke. Oh, my Lord.
I didn't even understand it at first. And then I was like, oh, my God, it's that bad that a simple joke was made, like, incomprehensible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it actually, it'd be really funny to find out later that, like, that joke is made them change plans. I think if Miz was a mid-carder, you can keep Alex Riley around. But having a main event guy with someone like that, no. There's no dichotomy between the two. Like, Michaels had Sid Vicious and Nash. Big guy, little guy. So...
Oh, yeah, and... They just, I could see if they played his character a little bit different, but, like, you know, Riley would have to kind of man up a little bit if they wanted to keep him around,
mm-hmm.
and stop speaking for the Miz.
No.
Yeah. Like, even if he manned up, there wouldn't be any problem with saying, hey, my mentor can handle his own work.
Mm-hmm. Or have him start talking and Miz go, I didn't tell you to talk. And if he gives him an attitude, have him get on him about that too and be like, that's funny. Without me, you're a nobody. You know, you can start the abuse. But
Yeah.
But, all right. So I know you wanted to talk about Triple H for a little bit because he's been taking a lot of heat this week since coming back Monday.
Oh, and I knew it was going to happen. I didn't pull up my blog, but I'm like, oh. I was like, you know what? I was fine with this promo, but I know that a lot of people aren't going to be. Because, you know, it was just a couple of weeks ago, when going back to Sting, honestly, where everyone said that when they thought it was Sting Undertaker, they thought that WrestleMania got that marquee match. And now it's Triple H and Undertaker, which I think will be a better match. Wrestling-wise, it'll be a better match than Sting Undertaker could be. And the names are just as big, if not bigger. I mean, I think Triple H is a bigger name than Sting. The allure is there more for Sting because of him never having been in the WWF/E. But overall, it should be a better match. And I guess if... You know, if you were going to be thinking that they added the marquee match with Sting and Undertaker, well, then you should still be thinking that this is going to be a marquee match and not him bashing the title matches when he said that, you know, how important it was to WrestleMania.
No, I know what you mean.
Okay. That's,
yeah. No.
That just, it's just like, no, I'm sorry. This is still going to be just as, well, like I said, I think it's going to be a better wrestled match. It'll probably be better promos. Like, as much as Triple H can be a spotlight hog, he's at least he's better than Sting again.
Yeah. Well, but don't you think he could have handled his business a tad better than coming out and then going, "There's no challenges left"? When the last time anyone saw him, he was getting his ass handed to him by Sheamus. Then to rectify the situation, he beats the hell out of Sheamus in 5 seconds. I mean, don't you think he deserves some heat for that?
Sheamus has been such a bitch for the last, like, 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a hard time getting riled up about it. Did he put a final nail in the coffin, possibly? Maybe. But they have been making such a big deal out of Sheamus being on a losing streak And not that I like their whole losing streak gimmick that they seem to like to do way too often.
Yeah.
They seem to love to resort to it. I mean, MVP was the recent victim of it. Matt Hardy was it on his way out the door. I don't know if I can't think that Sheamus is on his way out the door though.
Well, Matt Hardy was a fat fatso who didn't work and wanted to get fired. That's why he was on the way out.
Well,
So,
yeah,
all right,
his
come on.
was a little bit
Yeah.
different.
But it was just odd because they gave Sheamus such a strong showing at Elimination Chamber. Well, all of a sudden Triple H comes back, and I mean, and of course he lost to Mark. Well, he had that
Yeah,
strong showing at Elimination Chamber, and then gets his ass handed to him by Mark Henry in convincing fashion, without them using the excuse of the chamber, which I thought was kind of weird. At least they used it for John Morrison, but Sheamus just
Oh,
got his
yeah.
ass beat, and that was the end of it.
Yeah, and to me, that was a bigger offense than what Triple H did because, A, he kicked him in the groin right as he came into the ring.
Yeah. Which is the other
Like,
thing they didn't even mention.
it's just like, oh, what? Is Sheamus supposed to take over and just go ape shit after someone kicks him right in the groin?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, like if someone kicks you in the groin, then gives you their finisher, and then starts whooping your ass all over town, like you don't have recovery time.
Yeah.
Like they gave Sheamus no chance, which to me makes a little bit better. Like, is it bigfooting? Yeah, I guess, but they gave him every excuse in the book too.
And I guess, we always talk about this, though. That's where the announcers failed then. Because they did not, I mean, I'm sure. All right. Being reasonable about this, I'm sure they just, it was poor announcing. Where the Triple H hater will say, no, I'm sure that was made, they were on a doctrine not to say anything about it, about how Triple H did it. I don't know. I just.
Well, maybe the announcers are told that. But if Sheamus doesn't say something to that effect at some
No.
juncture, then that is just
Yeah.
that is completely irresponsible.
Yeah. I don't think Sheamus is going to get a chance to even mention this, to be honest. I really think that was just a blow off. So,
Yeah, no, he. I think he definitely could have worked at Triple H, going back to Triple H, and your question really even more, because we even kind of slid off there. He could have worded it better. Like, he could have said, you know what, I still have, like, the desire to, win more championships, but I have one mountain that I haven't climbed. And that's beating The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And, my good buddy Shawn Michaels couldn't do it. They definitely could have worded that better to not be as insulting to the whole thing, to the title matches and anything. So yeah, I think they could have worked with that better.
Yeah.
And Triple H should have been smarter than that to go, you know
Right.
what, this doesn't quite flow right.
Yeah, and also, but also, I don't think he got his point over the way he meant to, and I'm not apologizing for him. It just
Oh.
seemed like, when he said there were no challenges left, because he has fought everybody. He's fought Sheamus, win or lose. He fought Randy Orton,
Yeah.
Cena. I mean,
Is CM Punk maybe the only guy he didn't
CM,
wrestle?
yeah, CM Punk's there. Alberto Del Rio. I don't think he's ever really gone against Ray, but that's babyface, babyface, so you ignore
Yeah.
that. Kane, Big Show. There's a point to what he said. He didn't. I mean, I think I'll use your words. He didn't enunciate it correctly. He did not get across what he actually meant. So for everyone to just go, holy shit, look at, he's just buried the whole roster. I don't think he buried the whole roster as much as he didn't, you know, he didn't get across what he wanted. Wade Barrett, I guess you got to throw in there too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, people treat it as if he came out there and said, you know what? There's nobody in this locker room I can't beat. I can't outdraw, that I'm not better than, that will be wrestling in, you know, that was like going back to it, the bingo hall, anything like that. That's not what he did. He came out and just very humanly fucked up what he was trying to say. That's how I took it.
Yeah, no, like I said, like, I knew people were going to be more upset at it than I was. Like I said, it could have been worded better, and I think you're saying the same thing, really.
Yeah.
That he could have made his points. He could have made his points better.
Yeah, and I know one guy that'll disagree with us is Eric, because Eric's convinced he just buried the locker room, and that's it.
Oh, well.
This is how you know, without actually talking to someone on a phone or hearing their voice, that's an opinion I got. So,
gotcha. Hey, well, if him and Dusty decide to record this weekend, then they can rebut.
Yeah, they can talk about it. what else happened on Raw? Oh, you had The Rock. This is something I want to bring up, and I'm chewing my bourbon chicken, by the way.
Yeah. I'm starving, man.
It's really good.
I'm starving.
I don't know.
For you, the people, I didn't eat during the show.
I did. So, I'm beginning to think that this Rock John Cena thing is a huge mistake. It's drumming up business, okay? And it kind of hit me on Monday. You know, I was never the biggest Rock fan. I mean, I appreciated what he did, but I liked Austin more. I liked Jericho more, all right? I liked Triple H more back then. So, when he came back, obviously, you know, it's really cool because there's really no one else like him.
Yeah.
Then he came out and trashed Cena. And you're like, cool. I mean, as a Cena hater, too, that was really cool. I mean, this is the fan part. Then, Cena comes back, does his rap, and gets a little guffaw, like, oh, that's pretty good. Rock comes back and annihilates him Monday. Now, he left, and this is something, it was something you pointed out, how you worded it, in your Raw rundown. Rock left a lot of doors open for Cena to, you know, rebut back.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, and you could pick up on it. So there's definitely an angle here. But The Rock just destroys him on the mic. And I was turned to Elise, and I was like, this is a big mistake. And she goes, why is that? And I was like, they're not doing anything to help Cena. The guys who hate Cena are going to hate him to death now. There's no turning. This is how I see it, at least. The guys who hate Cena after The Rock goes through all this, there's no turning back. There's no turning those guys to Cena's side now. Absolutely none. And it's the older generation that doesn't like Cena. Then you got your guys on the fence who are saying, well, you know, Cena's not bad. Well, wow, look at this guy. Cena, you know what? Cena does actually kind of suck. And then you've got the little kids and the girls who are just like going to love Cena no matter what. So, you know, you kind of take them out. To me, it just seems like they're creating more Rock fans and getting people behind The Rock more than they are John Cena. And that's why I think it's a mistake, because Rock's going to be gone soon.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, and by the way, I think we've got to call ourselves out for a bunch of dumbasses. Or at least I'm definitely a dumbass for saying, why was John Cena eating Fruity Pebbles at the pay-per-view? It was because,
did you really say that?
Yeah, I did.
And I didn't call you on that? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm quite okay. Yeah, no, I definitely said that.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah, I apologize for
And I
not calling you
said,
on that.
yeah. Well, yeah, you certainly should have. Because that was awful. Anywho, like, yeah, how do. I'm not quite sure how he, kind of gives the thumbs up to Cena at this point. You know, as much as I'm kind of in. I'm enjoying it from the perspective, like, I like. The aspect of it that I like is that The Miz is left out. Because it lets Miz harp on what his main point has been for the last several months. And I think that's a good part of the equation of this Rock Cena battle. If they think that he's worth keeping as a big time heel. So for Miz, I think this whole thing's a boon. For Cena, I still think he's a bigger draw. Like, I think that the crowd is almost more into it when there's a Cena match, and that I guess that's why I was talking about Orton being the bigger baby face. 'Cause I still don't think the reaction in mass is as potent for Orton as it is for Cena, even though it's split.
Okay. No, I know what you mean.
So it's like he is getting killed, and I liked JR brought the point up that he needs to up his game. And I didn't agree with Rock saying that rapping is a bad way to come back to him. You know, like, how did Eminem make a movie about this kind of thing? You know, obviously it has some popularity to it in our culture. So I don't think there's anything wrong since he kind of did a throwback to his own character. Like, if it hadn't been his character to be a rapper, then it would have been completely inappropriate. But because he did that, like, I'm fine with that type of response. But this time around, like, if he comes back with another rap, then it's a real problem. You
I
know,
think.
like this time around, he's just got to go, no fussing around, no joking. You know, just go for the kill. Like I said, I think there were enough doors open that he can bite. And I mean, I
Right.
think it's an angle, so they're definitely, I think that they're leaving those doors open on purpose.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna disagree with you on the rap part. So,
Okay.
if you got into a verbal battle with somebody, okay, and they called you know, liar, this and this and this, you went out there, just destroyed them verbally, and then they come back giving a slow ass, childish rap back to you, you wouldn't be offended to the hill. That guy didn't take it seriously enough to go, you know what? You're a bitch. Instead of going, yo, yo, or, you know, whatever fucking Cena does, and he was tuning his voice beforehand. Wouldn't that infuriate you even more that that guy didn't take anything you said seriously?
Yeah, no, I can understand that.
So I could totally see why he would, like,
Why he would act offended that
yeah.
the rap
Or
was
you know, Rock came out, said something as himself, all right? You know, or as the Rock, whatever, you know what I mean? And Cena
Yeah.
has to go into a character to come back to him.
Yeah.
So it's like, ugh, I
That's a fair
totally
enough
understood
point.
that. And really, the whole you can't shee me thing when Rock does that shit cracks me up anyway, so that was fine. I mean, the best part is Elise fell asleep and Bishop went to bed already. So I was showing him the next day because someone at Elise's work came up to her and said that he wants to see John Cena just beat the hell out of The Rock now. Which I don't get at all. So, it just reminds me of that guy in Detroit with the belts and all that. But anyways, I totally lost my train of thought, so it doesn't really fucking matter, but...
Yeah, no, the you can't shee me thing is pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, that was it. So, if you go to WWE.com to bring up that video of it, it's got The Rock with the hat on sideways and him, like, crossing his arms and all that. And they both just started laughing because it was mocking Cena, and that's why they were laughing at it. Because they don't like him either. I mean, I don't. I don't think, at least. And if they do, it's only to annoy me. Just like whenever R-Truth comes out. One starts going, or Elisa just starts going, what's up, nonstop, because it's funny.
Come on, isn't that just like when we used to harass Jen and start playing the Big Show music all the time?
Oh, God, yeah, I forgot all about that, that's pretty funny. Oh, man, I wish we had more time. I'd get into that Big Show DVD I watched on Netflix. What a disappointing thing that was. It was very disappointing. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, we should wrap this up. We've been going long enough. Especially if Eric and Dusty are back this weekend anyways. So be on the lookout for that, everyone. I think next week we're going to do something different. We want you to post on the comment section for this show your tasteful gay jokes. And then what we'll do next week is read them. And if we don't get any, I'm going to make some up and just give it fake names. So, and they have to be tasteful. So you can't do a John Cena thing and get everyone all up in arms because, you know, you don't want to make gays look bad. Ugh, fuck. So fucking terrible. So, yeah, so please come up with your tasteful gay jokes. And then put your name if you want, and we'll read them on the air. And we'll read them straight. I'm not going to do, like, the lisp or anything. You know, the clearly only homosexual gay lisp. So there's some food for thought. Don't forget the Big 11 is always Saturdays. It's, you know, our Big 11 stories of the week that we think are big stories. Unless you're lazy like Eric and just take stuff you already posted on and put it in there. So I'm going to get out of here. So have a good week, everyone.
Okie doke, grandkids. I've already had one sippy time beer because we're doing this on the fine day of my birth.
Oh, yeah. So, happy birthday, Kevin.
I'm going to go finally grab myself some dinner and another sippy time beer.